And when I was thinking about just my life and what to share, realizing our lives are filled. There's so many stories we could tell, and I'm 36 years old and there's a lot to share. So was just praying and felt like God was just leading me to share about a few stories that kind of highlight my journey of hearing the voice of God and walking in that. So for me, I'll give a little bit of background of my upbringing. I know there's not very many of us on here, so a lot of you may already know. But I grew up in a Christian home. There was six of us kids, so I am the third kid. I have an older sister and an older brother, and then a younger sister and two younger brothers. So growing up, it was, we knew families that were bigger, but most of the time, like in our friends groups and church groups, we were a bigger family. And growing up in a Christian home, in a lot of ways, set the foundation for my life, for Christianity. Just by the way my parents lived, they always lived trying to teach us about the word, trying to, always going to church, and really trying to display to us how to love other people the way that Jesus would love. But in the midst of that, there was also a good degree of dysfunction and hurt. No family is perfect. And the older I get, the more I realize that all people, I think, in their childhood experience a degree of dysfunction and hurt that they carry with them into their adulthood. And just seeing how in my life, seeing even some of my siblings around me and just friends around me, how sometimes those hurts can drive us away from Jesus, or we can choose to go to Jesus. And just realizing in life, even growing up in a Christian home, mixed with hurts and dysfunctions, there's endless times in life where we, in a moment, choose between Jesus and self-sufficiency. And just looking on my story, realizing how incredibly thankful I am that Jesus kept continually bringing me back to himself in the midst of my years growing up and adulthood. When I was growing up, we moved a lot. So I've lived in 26 homes, most of those before I was 18. And when I was 1 year old, my family was a part of Operation Mobilization. And not sure if many know what that is, but my way of describing it would be it's a version of YWAM. So they took our whole family to England and we lived there for our discipleship training. And then we came back to Canada so that my mom could give birth to my little sister. So we were here for 2 weeks. And then we went to Jordan for 2 years. When we came back from the Middle East, we continued to move around a lot, but it was all within BC. But even in times when we would move from houses, like say within Nelson, if we would move houses, it also meant moving churches and it meant moving schools because we had one vehicle. So my parents would never drive to take us to school. So you always had to go to the closest school. So realizing as I get older, how much that did affect me. So now that I have kids, to think that my kids like play with children that they've been playing with since they were born or for years on end, it just kind of baffles me because that was like never even an option. We always knew that it's when you say goodbye to your friends at the end of the year, there's a very good chance you'll just never see them again. So just that aspect of life moving a lot did shape, I think, me more than I realized. But in moving a lot, we also moved churches a lot. Within moving churches, my parents would tended actually to go more towards the charismatic stream. So we, through the years, were doing a lot of home churches. And when the town was really small, my parents didn't feel comfortable with the church. Home church meant our family. So good thing there were six kids, because it meant we could all like clap our hands and make a little bit more noise, and it felt a bit more like a full service. But in that, through that history, I think partly the charismatic stream, but also just in a big way that we were constantly moving churches, I feel like I didn't get like a solid foundational gospel teaching in my life. But I do have endless incredible stories of how the Spirit has moved in my life. And I am so, so thankful for that. But that's kind of the type of spiritual atmosphere that we were in. It wasn't really solid teaching. It was a lot of just experiential, and such beautiful things in that. But lent to kind of the way my story went a little bit. So in light of that history, I really wanted to speak about some stories and experiences in my life of where I heard the voice of God and walk that out, and kind of what that looked like, and hopefully to be an encouragement to everybody that we do hear the voice of God, that God is constantly wanting to speak to us, and we hear him, and to trust that we hear him. So hopefully this shares that. So I want to go back to the first time where I remember hearing the voice of God in a profound way in my life. I can confidently say this moment was the beginning of my personal walk with Jesus. And looking back on my life, kind of from this point on, I can see God's intentional pursuit on my life from this time. So when I was 10 years old, I would say I was an early bloomer in the way of I thought I was mature beyond my years. I always, all the kids that were my age, I always thought I was so much more mature than them. I should be allowed to do all these things that older kids can do because I'm just way more mature than my age. So a bit out of that and just life circumstances, by 10 years old, I was doing a lot of things I shouldn't be doing probably at any age. And there was a lot going on in my life, a lot of turmoil, a lot swirling inside of me. And when I was 11 and a half, so still into all this, we moved to a small town called Selmo. It was only half an hour from where we had lived before, but like I said, we didn't drive anywhere. So it meant new church, new school, new friends, new everything. And I was 11 and a half, and at that point, I was in grade 7, and the town that I lived in, grade 7, meant that you were in high school, which I loved because I was so mature. And I remember after school one day, I was hanging out with some boys in the kind of downtown area. And I was just trying to make new friends and be cool. And we started, they started talking about shoplifting. And I'm like, oh, I can do that, no problem. And it's kind of bragging. And so then they started daring me. They're like, well, then why don't you go into that hardware store and steal us some fishing tackle? And yeah, I was trying to be cool. I wanted to be accepted. So I remember walking into this hardware store. And as I walked in, there was no other customers in there. Like I said, small town. And there was an old man who owned the store. And he said hi to me and everything. And then he walked past me and he walked into the back room. And there was no security cameras or everything. And I walked to the fishing tackle and I was looking at the fishing tackle, and this man fully trusted me. Like, he was in the back room doing who knows what, inventory or something, but I was in the store completely alone. And in that moment, as I was looking at the fishing tackle, I heard what I would say was the audible voice of God. And it said, is this what you want with your life? And I remember just freezing and looking around, and there was nobody there. And everything just kind of stopped in my world in that moment. And I remember I walked out of that store. I walked past the boys and they were like laughing at me and, oh, you couldn't do it and stuff. And I remember just not even caring. And I just walked straight home. And I feel like I can confidently say that that's when my Christian walk started for me. Like from that moment on, everything was different. From that moment on, there was never a question in my heart of, is God real? Is Christianity the way to go? Is there even such things like faith and religion or like any of those questions? I have just never struggled with ever since that moment. Like that moment just shifted everything for me in my heart. And at that point we were doing home church at home. There was only one church in the town. It was a small Pentecostal church. The youth group was just a small handful of kids. And when I went home that day, I convinced my mom to let my older brother and I go to youth group. And even though we didn't go to the church, my parents started letting us go to the youth group. But I just wanted to be involved in every way I could. So I started going to church Sunday mornings and Sunday evenings and doing youth group and any type of outreach or fundraiser. I was singing on the youth worship team. Kind of any way I could be involved, I wanted to be. And at that time, the Spirit was pouring out in that church like they had never experienced before. And in Nelson, like about a year before, my parents would bring us to some of these meetings, you know, where people would be roaring like lions and slithering like snakes. And so I had some grid that the Spirit moves in different ways, but the outpouring in that small church was just so incredible and timely for me. And I feel like when God spoke to me in that hardware store, it kind of shifted the trajectory of my life. And then stepping right into that time of renewal and the incredible outpouring of the Spirit just really settled in me and set in me some experiences with the Holy Spirit that I would never forget, and that God just continued to build on in my life. I'm incredibly thankful that I haven't doubted my faith since. And I realize for years, I was like, well, why isn't that just everybody? And realized as I get older that that is a huge gift that I'm incredibly thankful for, because that's not everybody's story and everybody's walk. And I feel like that's a grace of Jesus on my life, and I'm incredibly thankful for it. And just feel like through the years I talk, had a lot of conversations with people who have walked with God for a long time and feeling like they don't hear the voice of God, or they don't know how to, or is struggling with what that looks like and is there a formula. And for me, there's never a formula on hearing God. I just defaulted to believing I did, because in that one moment in the store, I did. And I've never heard God in the same way as I did in that hardware store, but always felt confident that he does speak to me. And there are many points in my life where God has spoken and it's changed the direction where I was headed in terms of focus or life trajectory. And I just want to share another one of those times when I was older, when I was 18 years old. I think some of you have been involved in New Life Church in Kelowna a little bit, but when I was a teenager, started getting involved in things that were happening there, like the Avalanche Conference for Youth and Eyes and Wings conferences. And I went up when I was 18 for it was called a Glory School for a few days with my mom. And there was always lots happening at that church, but we just really wanted to go this one time during the week. It was our mother-daughter trip away. And a few times during those days that we were there, people kept talking to me about being a dancer. So as some of you may know, I was not a dancer. I had zero dance training or experience. I was a rugby player all through high school. And I know in my teenage years, I would jump around my living room to Heather Clark or Jason Upton or David Roos, Wide Wide World. That was pretty great. But it was usually, I would clear out the living room and it was usually me knocking over lamps and knocking over furniture because I would close my eyes because I was in worship. And then I'd be so dizzy that I couldn't dance straight or walk straight or any of that. So I definitely was not talented in this area, but I was passionate about moving for Jesus. And I remember from really young, like 12 years old, feeling like when I was in worship, my body was going to explode. Like there was so much energy inside me when I worshiped, I couldn't help but move. And I still feel this. You'll probably notice I'm always at least swaying or moving. And if my back's really bad, I actually have to sit down to stop myself from moving during worship. But there was definitely no training in it at that point. And there was a woman at this conference who started praying for me, and she kept talking about seeing me dancing. And I was like, oh, that's a beautiful analogy. I can connect with that. And but then she kept talking about it in a formal turn. She's like, okay, yeah, so you're a dancer. And I started laughing. I felt bad because she was praying for me. I'm like, I know, I'm not a dancer. She's like, no, but you are. I'm like, no, thank you though. Like, that's really nice prayer. And then later on that night after the service, somebody else came up to me and they just started talking to me. They're like, yeah, so you're a dancer. And it was somebody totally disconnected and they wouldn't have had time to talk. And from totally different places too, because Kelowna was really a hub. People would come from all over the place, including other countries, to be a part of these schools and conferences and stuff. Anyways, I'm like, okay, that's weird. Second one. And then I went out into the parking lot that night with my mom. And there was a guy who was a part of the conference, but he was like on the other side of the parking lot walking away. And as he was walking away and we were coming out, he just turns around and he points at me and he screams at me. He's like, you're a dancer. And then he just turned around and walked away. And so there were five moments like this in a very short few days. I'm like, mom, that was weird. Like, I'm not a dancer. But when I got home, I decided to look into it a bit, and I knew I wanted to dance for Jesus only. So it had to be a Christian dance studio of some sort. And I knew a girl at church, Brittany, and she was taking Christian dance classes in Langley. So I connected with her. I ended up meeting Russ and Sandy Rosine and taking classes there. Tracy was my first instructor with hip hop. And hip hop's very technical. You don't just get to feel the moves and flow around. And so I would practice 2 hours a day for a 1 hour class that I would take once a week. So I think it's fair to say that it did not come naturally to me at all, but I worked so hard at it because I knew it's where God had me and he had given me a heart for it. So within 2 years, I was taking endless classes and I was even teaching classes, which was crazy given my background. So I basically lived at that studio for the next 7 years, and the adventures God took us on were more than I could have imagined. Like, it totally, I thought I was going to be a lawyer. It just took like a totally different turn when I stepped into dance. And God moved so powerfully through dance through those years, and he set a deep passion in me for dance and the arts. And it was fascinating to see how God, how the Spirit would just like transcend like culture and languages, and all those barriers would just come down when we were doing the arts. So I remember being in Israel and we would be in Tel Aviv on the boulevard, and we did not speak the language, and a lot of people didn't speak English either. And we would just on the boulevard at nighttime just start doing our dances and worshiping. And I don't know if any of you know Russ Rosine, but he's really into like the group engagement worship, and like strangers and random people that didn't even really know what we were singing about would come and they would dance with us, and these huge crowds would come around and just would see time after time where barriers would just drop because people could connect with the arts. I remember another time we were in St. John's, Newfoundland, and we went into the beer strip. Probably not what it's called, but it's a whole ton of pubs and it's a strip and the road is closed and there's a bandstand kind of in the middle. And we were dancing and singing like old hymns and stuff. And people were coming out of the bars and out of like even through the windows in the bars, and they were like singing along and engaging in this like worship to Jesus in the midst of such like a weird dynamic of a place. And so it was really incredible to see God moving through that and working through that in all those years in many ways. In that we traveled all over Canada and the US. I got to go to Israel and Greece with dance. I also learned in this time that I love to teach dance. I got to reach a lot of people's lives through teaching in studios, prisons, schools, and at conferences. Did a lot of teaching through those years, and it was really awesome. Yeah, so in me saying yes to God, to just even look into dance, to see over 7 years what it exploded into, like I said yes, and it changed my whole life. Like in that time, I met Alec and so many friends that are still really close friends to me. And it was such a rich time and so much good came out of these years. But I want to also include the follow-up of that story. And when I was dancing every day, and it was my whole life, I never imagined I'd be where I am now. That due to a dance injury, I ultimately had to stop dance completely. Also, at the end of my 7 years with those dance people, a few relationships ended very badly and are still broken to this day. And even though there was so much good, I also left with a good degree of hurt. Not the ending I saw coming or that I wanted. And who knows, maybe I will dance again one day. And I would love that, but this is where my story is at now in that ending. And the reason I want to talk about the end of the story also is because things not going how we planned or ending the way we had not wanted them to does not mean we misheard what God was saying. That life being hard does not mean we're in the wrong place or we didn't hear God right. We can never predict the path God has for our life, what ups and downs will come, the struggles and the pains and the joys. But God walks through us in that to root us deeper in Him. Me not being able to dance now doesn't mean that I heard God wrong all those years ago when He called me to dance. I heard Him rightly, and those years were so, so good. I'm just in a different season of Him using me in other ways right now and growing deeper in Him as I process the pain and the loss, physically and emotionally, of that form of worship I love so much and of that time in my life I so loved. And me processing the hard parts of this journey are just as fruitful in my life as walking in the good times. So when things don't go good, I think we tend to assume that we heard God wrong, or we obviously can't hear His voice because even though it was good for a bit, it's going wrong now. And that just can't be what God would have wanted for our life. But I know God doesn't always speak clearly with tons of confirmation, but I would really like to encourage you that through this, that God does speak to you, and to err on the side of believing that you are hearing them rather than erring on the side of thinking that you can't hear Him. Because God is faithful to speak and guide us through this life. And so just hopefully these small stories from my life are able to just encourage you in that and trusting God with your journey that He has you on of walking with you in life, in the ups and downs and the days in and days out. So yeah, that's all I have to share.
Man, that's awesome. It's so cool to, I mean, I've known you for for quite a long time, but I still learned tons of things about your journey that I just didn't even know. I can't believe you had moved around so many times, like 26 times or something before you were like that's wild. Yeah, and I do share, like, I mean, I think a lot of us in this on this call probably share a similar history, even around some of the powerful things we've experienced in the streams of the church that you were connected with over the years. And in some ways, I think we all probably resonate with this sense of even processing what those seasons were, how God met us in those times. You communicate even a sense of what were the missing pieces during those seasons, what were the gems that God put into your life during those seasons. You mentioned that there in a lot of those dreams, there was not quite the depth of teaching or the gospel foundations that you really needed. But yet I just love how God was still so faithful to you and really kind of like grabbed your attention, almost arrested you there in that hardware store. Just that I felt like that was such a powerful moment of just rescue, just like a merciful rescue of like, is this what you want to do with your life? Like, is this how you want to live? Is this who you want to be? Kind of this direct kind of piercing, like, presence of Jesus when no one else was in the store. Like, wow. I mean, there's just so many amazing things about your story, Catherine, and just reflecting on the main theme that you brought out, just about the voice of God and hearing the voice of God, and how pertinent that is to each one of us, no matter what season of life we're in. And of course, there's so many different ways that we hear the voice of God, whether it be something like an audible voice that you experienced in that hardware store, whether it be in seasons where I'm sure you could even speak to of, as you've come into and been diving into the gospel and diving into the scriptures and diving into the history of the church and these kinds of things, and how many ways God speaks to us through his word, and God speaks to us through worship, through teaching, through all these different ways. Yeah, I just think that it's so pertinent, just that whole theme of the voice of God, how he speaks to us. I'm curious if you have anything to add in terms of, you spoke about how he really spoke to you in the hardware store. These experience, I thought that experience at the conference of really speaking calling and destiny into your life around the dance, and then as that season of dance kind of ended, and you express a little bit of pain, there's some grief there, there's some processing in there, there's some relationships that just aren't quite right. And as you come into a different season of life, how is God speaking to you in this season of your life? And is that different from past seasons? I'm not sure if that makes sense, but.
I think to me, in terms of, I'm not sure if I'm hearing this right, just cut me off if I'm not answering this the way you were thinking. For me, like, hearing the voice of God so much is just about just feeling peace in that moment. And I feel like normally after I feel peace about something, there is confirmation that comes. And this season, my life obviously looks so different. I'm way more rooted locally. For so many years there, we were just Alec and I, even as we got married, weren't really rooted anywhere. We were all over the place. So I would say in this season of my life, we're rooted locally in the church and with friends, and just even hunkering down with family. And just my thing is, it's like, okay, if I feel peace about something, and there's confirmation, just trusting that that is where God has me until he says otherwise. So on the hard days or the crazy days, it's like, well, no, he hasn't said anything new. So I'm going to pull back to that last time where I know he spoke and I know there was confirmation and it was for sure him and we felt peace about it. Mm-hmm. Then it's like always going back to that, because you don't always feel peace every single day, especially in the hard times, but going back to where we do know that he spoke and there was so much peace and confirmation, and just having to continually go back to that and just rest in that and be like, then this is where we're supposed to be.
Right.
Until we hear him speak.
Right.
Something new.
Yeah, I think I reflect on that too, and how sometimes it almost seems like where there's a silence or even a perceived silence of God, for us to be able to just, like you said, I think that's a beautiful picture, to rest on what he has spoken and where there has been clarity. And so that brings peace in the times where it feels like I feel like God isn't speaking anything new per se. Yeah. There's not any like mind-blowing like directional changes that God is saying, yeah, this is the next, you know, like crazy adventure that I have for you. But like, I think that's a really beautiful picture. And also I think like the contrast between your earlier years where you were moving from church to church, from city to city, from town to town, and there wasn't a sense of rootedness, there wasn't maybe a sense of community coming around. I know for myself this has been important too, where it's like I'm listening to the voice of the Lord for myself, and in our home and in our marriage we're listening to the voice of the Lord, but yet another added dimension of health and grace has been like listening to the voice of the Lord in community.
Yeah.
And listening to the voice of the Lord with people that have walked more life than I have, that are praying for me every day, you know, like in that sense of communal like hearing and knowing that, like, you know, if I'm in a season where I can't see that far ahead, like I could send a text to you and Alec and be like, hey, like, would you be able to pray with me? And I'm really asking the Lord for clarity in this area, and knowing that if we have that, it's actually an added layer of how God speaks. And so it's not even, it's not all up to me, you know, like it's not all up to us to kind of like nail it and have that, you know, kind of perfectly dialed in. But I don't know, Is that ring true at all for your experience, or?
Oh, yes. Yeah, totally. Yeah, God speaks in so many different ways and he uses people around us. And oh, yeah, so much. Like a lot of times, like even with that dance thing, it wasn't just like me in my own little room. It was like he was using the body around to like speak into that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Which thankfully, if it was all just like us hearing, that is like extra pressure.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. Well, this is so awesome. I wonder, maybe Catherine, if you could pray for us. I think that it's an interesting season. Here we are coming to the end of summer, which for a lot of us just ends up being a season of transition as we're kind of shifting gear. We're beginning to shift gears into the fall. You know, kids going back to school, people settling into school rhythms, you know, even as a church, we're looking, you know, over this next 3-4 months to, in a solid public way, like launching what will be Via Langley, you know, opening the doors, God willing, you know, in just a number of months here. Yeah, I wonder if you could just pray just in and around this theme of hearing the voice of God. And yeah, this really does actually tie into last week too, about this sense of God's plans for us being good and giving us a hope and a future. But not just in a far off sense. I kind of get the sense that what your story kind of carries is this prophetic reminder that God is not far away, that he is in us, that he does speak, and he does, by his grace, get through to us and direct our path and shine light on where we're supposed to walk and show us his way. So yeah, anything in that vein or anything extra that you just want to feel, if you feel just to bless our community and just speak those things over us. But thanks again for sharing. It's been so good.
Jesus, I thank you so much that you walk with us closely and that you want to be in and a part of every aspect of our journey. I thank you that you long to be heard. And Jesus, I pray today that we would be able to rest in you. That your hand is on our life, that you are leading us and guiding us. God, I pray that we would be able to trust you, that you are a good God and that you are faithful to show us what our next step is, or where to turn next, or what door we should walk through next. I pray that you'd continue to soften our hearts and our ears towards you, that we would hear you in all the incredibly intricate ways that you speak, whether it be through other people or directly to us. God, I pray that in this season, as there's a lot of shift and a lot of uncertainty, God, that you would speak clearly, and that we, as a church and individuals, would walk in trust that we do hear your voice.
Yes,
And even though we don't know what the outcome will be, or even if it seems different from what we're comfortable with or than what we thought, God, that we would trust in you and just walk in the ways that you have and walk in what you're telling us to do. I pray that there would just be grace on that. And I just, bless everybody as we walk into this next season, Jesus. That you guide each one of us clearly and us as a church as a whole clearly as well.